chapter 12. John chapter 12. And we're going to kick this off with verses 25 through 26. And it says, Jesus said these words. He said, "He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Now go down the road a little bit to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Today I want to talk about this. I want to talk about how to be a yielded vessel for the Holy Spirit. That's one of my favorite topics, on how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? I want to give you some key points on how to yield and how to flow with Him as a Christian. See, now, you got to understand this now. Here's why people have such a hard time being led by the Holy Spirit. Ready? Because you're addicted to the natural realm. The Holy Spirit is invisible. Come on. He is invisible because He is a spirit. Amen? You got to remember this. Faith is aware. Oh, I like this. Oh, come on. Faith is aware and conscious of the invisible. Faith is aware and conscious of the spirit realm, which is the invisible realm. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? So faith, I like to say it this way. Faith takes hold of the invisible. Faith takes hold, because faith carries you to the point where you receive from the Lord, and it comes into your natural realm. You getting it? All right? So listen to this. The word yield is defined as this. I talked about it a couple weeks ago. I kind of been bringing it up, and I'm like, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to go a little bit deeper in this. The word yield is defined as this: to surrender or to give up or to relinquish something, all right? Now, in a spiritual sense, it means that we are surrendering to the will of God for our lives in any given situation. It's a giving up of your own free will and desires that are contrary to the will of God in your life. Now, when there's a yield sign, as we talked about before, what do you do at a yield sign? You slow down and you give way, right? You give way. In the same way, we are to slow down, we are to give way to the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to slow down and get His mind on a situation that we're going through, right? We are to give Him the right of way in our life. Now, let me just remind you of this. Go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Let's just take it back to the basics right now. Just as a good reminder. Talking about how to be a yielded vessel for the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." We're too comfortable. We're too addicted to this natural realm. We're too addicted and make an idol out of our human wisdom many times, don't we? But this says, "Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He," the Lord, the Holy Spirit, "He will direct your paths." So when we acknowledge the Lord and seek Him for direction and understanding, guess what you're doing? You're yielding to Him. You're slowing down. You're slowing down that train of the flesh. How many of you know that the flesh is a locomotive, baby? It gets going. It starts building momentum. Look out. It takes some willpower to put the brakes on and slow it down. Like, God, okay, I know how I feel right now in the flesh, but I need to get your mind. I need to get your perspective on this thing, because I'm going to just mess this thing up. A runaway train is not a good thing, by the way. All right? You ever felt like a runaway train before? Oh, yeah. Come on. Oh, thank you, you two. Y'all, you others. Okay, all right. See, so we are slowing down and taking the time to get his perspective and wisdom, because many times it's a lot different than what we want to do in a situation, isn't it? And there's a reward for slowing down. There's a reward for putting the brakes on that flesh train. Amen? So how many of you know it's easy to get busy and caught up with the ways of this worldly flow and not acknowledge or seek the Lord for direction? It gets busy, doesn't it? I've worked, obviously, many years in the secular realm. I know what it's like. It's overwhelming at times, isn't it? All right? So listen to this. Another definition of the word yield, it's the same word, but it's kind of a different thing, but it still ties in spiritually, which I love. It says, to be fruitful or profitable, to yield a good crop, right? We're a carrot farmer. My dad was a carrot farmer back in the day. They were always talking about the yield. What's the yield? Well, that's talking about being fruitful or profitable. How many are you getting in an acre or something? That's the yield, right? But if you yield to the Holy Spirit, it will yield benefits in your life like never before. If you yield to the Holy Spirit in your life, you will yield or be profitable not only for the kingdom of God, because how many of you know we're called to make God rich on this earth? Some of you are like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? We are called to make God rich. You know what makes the kingdom of God rich? Bringing souls into the kingdom. You know what makes God rich? Making disciples for the kingdom that are going to get souls. Are you following me? So the main thing is to bring people into the kingdom. And to do that, we need to make disciples to show them and be equipped on how to do that. Amen? But anytime you walk in obedience to the promptings and leading of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, will always be in line with the Word of God, there will always be a blessing attached to it. Always. You cannot obey God and not have a blessing attached to that thing. Now, there's one last definition of the word yield. I love this. And it's this: to give way to the pressure. To give way to the pressure. You see, the Holy Spirit leads us through promptings, through impressions on the inside, through thoughts on the inside, through our emotions at times. When the Holy Spirit puts an impression or a prompting on the inside of you, you have two choices. You can either forget it, you can let your flesh train go down the track, or you can give way to the pressure of the Holy Ghost. You ever had that before? You literally felt it on the inside. You felt a pressure where he's saying, don't go in that direction. Don't do it. It's a pressure. And then foolish us, we ignore him. And then a whole bunch of consequences start to follow. And then we start to get mad at God. You ever do that? Right? Isn't it just, it's an awful cycle, right? So, you know, you may feel compelled to go witness to a person or whatever, but the Word of God says that Jesus, I love this, remember, to yield, to give way to pressure. It says that Jesus many times was moved with compassion. Compassion in him literally motivated him. He gave way to that pressure, that spiritual pressure on the inside to go and minister to someone. And guess what? I don't know about you, but Jesus had a good track record of miracles happening in his ministry. Lord, I want miracles, signs, and wonders in my life. Give way to the pressure of the Holy Ghost then. Are you following me? Quit ignoring him. Stop that flesh train that's going. See, the Holy Spirit, listen to this. I mentioned this, I think, on a Wednesday. But the Holy Spirit has emotions. It says he can be grieved. He can be happy. He has all the emotions that humans, right, have. And he lives on the inside of you as a Christian. So many times, what you're feeling, the emotions that creep up sometimes, not all the time, come on, but sometimes you're feeling the emotion of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you about a situation, about a person, discernment about a certain thing. And when you act on the impressions, the promptings, and leading of the Holy Spirit, results will always follow. Amen? Now, if the Holy Spirit is leading you to do something, a lot of times, I mean, if you're really feeling the pressure, you could even call it this way, the tug. the tug. Or, Kenneth Hagin, the inward witness. The inward witness of the Holy Spirit. If you're really feeling the unction to do something, I mean, you can't let this thing go. Guess what? There's a divine timing attached to it. It's almost like a grenade, right? You pull the pin, you got a certain amount of time to get rid of that thing. So you need to slow down, pay attention. How am I feeling about this situation? And you got to discern, is there a divine timing on this situation? On the other hand, there's always another hand, isn't there? On the other hand, there might be times when he tells you to do something, but it's not immediate. All right? Listen, an example is this. An example is, say, a prophetic word. The word of God says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. All right? What does that mean? In other words, the Holy Spirit might give you a prophetic word, but that doesn't mean you have to release it immediately. That's why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the operations of the gifts. Sometimes you've got to hold on to it and wait for the right timing. Are you following me? Okay. So, in you know, the timing of God, you know what that really is? The wisdom of God. Think about that. A baby. If a baby is born prematurely, if a baby is born at 2 months, it's not a good thing, is it? You got to let that thing mature. You got to let that thing grow. You got to let it develop. And a lot of times, so that's why you got to get the mind of the timing of a certain thing, or else you're going to abort that thing before the time. I'm convinced many things are of the Holy Ghost, but it's aborted because it's the wrong timing. And it doesn't get the maximum effect that it should have gotten if you would have held off for the right timing. Are you getting it? Now, I mean, there's so many different examples you could give, but just I'm giving you some general rules on that thing, on the timing. Amen? So, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's always trying to create divine appointments for you and I. There's always divine appointments, but we must be ready to activate divine appointments, right? We need to be ready to fulfill divine appointments. Did you know right now the Holy Spirit and God's angels are working right now to set things up? They're organizing something in your life right now to come to pass, and you don't even know it. And many, I'm telling you right now, many times the enemy will strike. The enemy will strike. You will get into a depression, a heaviness, and you're feeling this warfare going on. But if you knew what's going on in the background, baby. Amen. Come on. Amen. If you knew what God was setting up for you. Come on, some of you right now, you're feeling it. You're feeling that joy. You're feeling that stirring right now. That's the Holy Ghost saying, yeah, he's talking about you. If you knew, that's why the devil always wants to deceive you with natural realm things. Take a look at all the discouragement going on. Look, you don't have anything in your life. Why, God's getting ready to just unloose the mother load all over your life. Amen? That's why God says maintain a spiritual mindset that's able to perceive and take hold of the invisible, not the visible. Amen? So we must learn to be sensitive to the promptings and the leading of the Holy Spirit. But not just be sensitive to receive the instructions, but you have to set in your heart, I am sold out to God no matter what. You must go a step further and you need to say, all right, when I'm feeling that tug, I'm going to move. I'm going to move. I'm going to do something. There are some here and listening to me right now on the internet. You're so frustrated because there's no opportunities for you. You just feel like your life is a mess right now. But listen, some people have doors open all the time and some don't. Have you ever noticed that before? Let's talk about that a minute. The difference is this. Those who don't have divine appointments or open doors is because many times you're so dry spiritually. Here's why. Because you've wasted opportunities in the past. Think about it now. Now, here's the deal. So, you know, we don't hang up on condemnation of those things, but we do say, wow, okay, you know, I knew I was supposed to do something, I didn't. That's the grace of God revealing that and say, look, now, if God, when it happens again, I'm ready this time. I'm ready this time. Amen? For some, listen, for some who don't have divine appointments, you're not asking for them and you're not expecting them to come into your life. I'm telling you right now, you need to change your perspective right now. If you're the one of those that are in depression and oppression and heaviness because of what you're seeing right now, you need to make that shift right now. And you need to start having a spiritual mindset. Amen? I see it all the time. Christians that are faithful and bold to witness to others, willing to flow in the gifts of the Spirit and pray for the sick. Doors and divine appointments open for those people all the time. Why? Because they're profitable with it. Right? So that's one thing about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a good businessman. Are you following me? The Holy Ghost likes profit. Come on, somebody. I'm talking more than money here. See, those are the ones that see the miracle signs and wonders. God said he will confirm the preaching of his word. Amen? That's why, yeah, be still and know that he is God in the midst of a trial, but he didn't tell you to be silent. Speak his word. Amen. Don't be silent. Amen? It's a battle. It's a battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. Amen? There is a battle going on. Do you know that? See, God will increase his anointing on your life when he can trust you with it. Amen. Will you be faithful with the gifts? Will you be faithful with the talents? Will you be faithful with the anointing he has given your life right now? See, there comes a point when if you consistently ignore his promptings of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit has emotions and you grieve him. Just like you can grieve anybody else. Ooh, say grieve. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? And many times, he'll take divine appointments and give them to a profitable Christian. But I want them. Amen? Don't you? Don't you want some divine appointments to come to pass? Come on. And sometimes, listen to this. Sometimes it's bitterness. Sometimes it's unforgiveness. Sometimes it's other negative emotions and attitudes that are causing the Holy Spirit to pass you by. Because sometimes if we're in that place where our attitude and emotions are bitter, they're horrible, it's just a bad deal. The Holy Spirit says, hey, look, if I give you this opportunity, you're going to waste it. In fact, you're going to do damage because you're not ready for that opportunity. Amen? You'll waste the opportunity, and we don't want to do that, right? You got to remember, God is always looking out for his people. Amen? He's always looking out for his people. So I'm talking about yielding to the Holy Spirit. And know, you need to know that he is moving, he is working, but you have something to do with it. Amen? When you exalt your will over God's will, that's called pride. In fact, exalting your negative emotions over God's will is called pride as well. Amen? James 4:6, by the way, this is written to Christians, not unbelievers. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace or favor to the humble. Amen? We always got to remember that. We always, see, there's one thing that God doesn't walk in. Are you ready for this? Partiality. Oh, partiality. In fact, the Word of God commands us. He commands pastors. He commands leaders. Do not have partiality. If someone's wrong, they're wrong, right? If someone's right, they're right. Amen? We cannot have partiality, okay? So, you know, you can think you're God's favorite all you want, but if there's pride in your heart, he's going to resist you. Why? Because his Word says it. Amen? So get back to being God's favorite. Amen? With your attitudes, I'm talking about. Amen? So we need the same mindset as the Apostle Paul had about preaching the gospel. Listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, he said, "Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe unto me." So we got to keep our mindset. This is our goal why we're on this earth right now. We need to spread the message of the gospel. Amen? If every Christian would share Christ with as many people as they can, listen to this. The second coming of Jesus may have happened by now. Oh, come on, listen to this. You're like, what are you talking about now? Jesus said in Matthew 24, 14, he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." Do you understand that? His second coming hinges on you and I getting the gospel message out. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, when are you coming back? Jesus, you got those Christians who aren't doing anything, and they just always look up. They want that escape mentality. And he's saying, well, if you want me to come back, get preaching the gospel. Now, some of you are saying, well, come on, with the internet and all that, the gospel has been taught around. No, dead religion and tradition of man have been preached around the world. Not necessarily the gospel or the good news. Amen? So God is looking for radical Christians that are willing to proclaim the gospel with boldness. Look at Matthew 25 real quick here. "No man knows the time or the hour, but we know the season, and the season is ripe." Amen? You want Jesus to come back? Get preaching to people. The true gospel. Not dead religion, not tradition of man. Amen? Matthew 25, 29. "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Think about that. So this is why you see well-known ministers that are prospering in a powerful way, because they have been faithful with the gifts, talents, and anointing and resources that God has given them. Amen? These ministers, you could say it this way, these ministers have made God's priorities their priority. Right? That is the key to unlocking the anointing in your life. Get involved in what God's interested in. He's interested in people, right? You heard some ministers sometimes say, well, ministry is great. People are the problem. Well, ministry is the people. Are you following me? Sure, it's going to be a mess. Sure, the zoo needs a little cleaning here and there, right? You seen that post on Facebook, didn't you? I was talking about the difference between traveling ministers and pastors. Traveling minister is like the one who goes to the zoo for the day, gets a hot dog, cotton candy, enjoys all the exhibits. And the pastor's the zookeeper. Put the mask on, go in the cage, clean out the... Right? Oh, I've done traveling ministry. It's fun. Because there's no responsibility once you're done. But we need those ministers too, amen? So it's good. So you need to realize that the gifts and talents that you have are from the Lord, and we are expected to glorify him and advance his kingdom on this earth and not our own kingdom, amen? We are not the owners of those gifts and talents and anointing. We are the stewards of them, right? I like to say it this way. It's kind of like a stockbroker, right, who manages millions of dollars of hedge funds and all that thing. It's not their money, but they're responsible to increase it. And what happens if they don't increase it? Go find another career. You want someone handling your money that makes it go down all the time? Well, God doesn't want anybody handling his gifts, talents, and anointings if it's not giving him profit in the kingdom of God. So we are expected to use everything. See, that's what the Holy Spirit is always paying attention to. So when he's talking about maintaining a clean and pure heart and all that, it's not just a lollygag thing. It has to do with your effectiveness as a Christian on this earth. Why? Because ultimately, you and I, we're representing him. We are God's hedge fund manager. We are God's stockbroker. And he's looking for a prophet. Amen? He's looking for souls to come in. He's looking for disciples to be raised up and equipped that are doing the work of the gospel. Amen? So every day we need to pray and expect God to open doors of ministry to people. Oh, yes, to people. Amen? So if you got a bad idea of people, you need to get that changed right away, right? Right? I mean, everything comes down to people, right? God created us for a relationship with him. God created all of us for a relationship with each other as well. Amen? So if you're going to yield to the Holy Spirit, give way to his pressure. Listen, the fear, oh, listen, because there's some that love the praises of men more than the praises of God. All right? So if you're going to yield to the Holy Spirit, fear must go out the window. Say, fear's got to go. All right? Now, here's the deal. Someone once said, well, you know, that fear might be there, but do it afraid. Do it afraid. So another, you could, probably the better thing to say is this. Override the fear. Right? Right? I mean, you get up and do something for the first time, there's going to be a nervousness. There is going to be a fear. There's going to be a tension, right? Guess what? Do it anyways. Right? And I found out when you do it anyways, that's when the Holy Spirit kicks in and pushes you and helps you and anoints you. Amen? And then you end up looking back and think, wow, Holy Spirit, you really made something good out of that. Right? All right. So among those that are used by God in a powerful way, there is one common thread. They are willing to be bold and stand up for righteousness and truth. Amen? They couldn't care less about the opinion of man. They have one opinion that they're concerned about, and that's God Almighty and his word. Amen? That's why we need to do things without partiality, right? They're empty. They are an empty, sold out, yielded vessel for the Holy Spirit to fill and flow through. I like that. So if you want to flow in the Holy Spirit, here's the first requirement. You need to empty yourself of you. You need to empty yourself of you. You know? So that's why we need to examine our heart all the time. Lord, what is in my heart? Is there anything in my heart that's blocking you, that's damning the flow of you flowing through me? We need to really deal with those things and remove them. You must make room for the Holy Spirit in every area of your life. You must be, I like to say it this way, come on, you must be aware, focused, and single-minded. You must be aware, focused, and single-minded. Because the moment that you entertain anything else, you get your mind off the word, you get your mind off him, you get your mind off Jesus, you're going to go in another direction that you really didn't want to go. Amen? So you need to fill yourself with the word of God. And by doing so, you are filling yourself with knowledge of the will of God. You're filling yourself up with divine wisdom. You're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with. Go to John 14:26. Look at this. John 14:26. I said, you're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with in your life. The main tool he uses is the Word of God. All right? Look at this. John 14, verse 26. Jesus said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your, underline it, remembrance, all things that I have said to you. So to bring something to your remembrance, you once had to see it at some time in the past. Amen? How can I bring something to your remembrance that you had no idea about? So that means if the Holy Spirit's going to bring Jesus' words to our remembrance, we got to get it inside of us first. Are you getting it? All right? So that we must feed on the Word of God. We must stay strong spiritually and allow the Holy Spirit to equip us. The Holy Spirit will equip you. Listen, the Holy Spirit will equip you as much as you allow Him to. Oh, think about that. He will equip you as much as you are willing to let Him. So reading and studying the Word of God will equip you. Real quick, go down the road to Romans 12. Romans 12. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the helper, not the doer. He's the helper. He's there to help. You're the captain of your own jet. He's the co-pilot. I heard someone say, no, the Holy Spirit's the captain. No, you have free will. You have free will. And he's over there in that co-pilot seat saying, James, maybe you should start descending. You're only 5 miles away from the airport. No, I'm good. And blow right past the airport. How many times have we blown right past the spiritual airports? Amen? Look at this. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Where the Holy Spirit was trying to get us to land somewhere in our life. But we ignored Him and we overflew it. And then we end up landing in some tropical, ugly, no vegetation place. We get out of the plane and say, I'm here, and nothing's around. Oh, no, you guys are tired. All right, no playing today, I guess. Romans 12, 1 through 2. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. After all, after what Jesus did, it's just reasonable that you allow Him to flow through you, right? And do not be conformed or pressed into the mold of this world. Don't give in to the pressure of this world system. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's interesting. To prove. Who is always trying to show you the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? The Holy Spirit. And it says here, the only way we can do it is if we transform our thought process into a spiritual mindset. It says if we don't transform our thought process, it's impossible to prove what God wants us to do in our life. You see, the Holy Spirit is so important. Listen, you got to understand this. The Word of God gives the general will of God, right? In certain situations. Like I've said this before, I never read in here, oh, James Brand is supposed to be a pastor. He'll be pastoring at Living Waters Chapel, November, blah, 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 2021. You know, that would be real helpful if it would have told me that. It probably would have delivered me from some things I probably shouldn't have done. The discouragement I fell into. But guess what? That wasn't in here. Right. But the Holy Spirit was in me saying, hey, don't give up. I'm working something out. Because I was filling my mind with the general wisdom of God in His Word, I was able to discern then later on, wow, God, You're up to something. And I'm not going to abort this thing. Are you following me? We can't be aborting the plan of God. And if we don't get a spiritual mindset, you're going to abort it. We can't do it. So we need to get into the Word of God. Amen? Yes. Mm-hmm. Come on. There it is. Yield, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Hallelujah. Yield. Say yield. I like that. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God in us. You hear Jeremiah talks about this. The Word of God in us is like a hammer. You ever feel like you're getting pounded with a hammer? It's like a hammer to chisel out the worldliness and the fleshly mindsets on the inside of us. When you read and feed on the Word of God, you are providing the necessary tools for the Holy Spirit to transform you. Ready for this? From glory to glory. So the Word needs to get in. You can't overemphasize the Word of God. The Word of God reveals who He is. The Word of God reveals the wisdom of God. And it's going to carry you through this life victoriously. Amen? Now, So when you read the Word of God, you are attracting the Holy Spirit in your life in a greater way. Yeah, He's on the inside of you. But listen, don't tell me, when you're in a fleshly mindset, you're not in tune with Him. It almost feels like He's not even there. Are you following me? You get it? Sometimes you got to say, Holy Ghost, are you in there? Right? I mean, are you there? He's like, yeah, I've been here the whole time. You're just not paying attention. You're too fleshly, right? So we need to feed on that. And the Holy Spirit is trying to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. That's why being jealous about someone else's gifts and callings, get rid of it. You got your own thing going, right? You got your own thing. And your own thing's a real good thing. And it's going to be a fulfilling thing. It's tailor-made just for you. Amen? So reading and meditating on the Word of God is spending time with Jesus. Did you know that? Well, how can I spend time with Jesus? He's up in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. No, He is the Word. So when you get into the Bible, oh my goodness, I just seen angelic movement right there. When you get into the Word, you are spending time with Jesus. Wow. I loved how those Pharisees, I believe it was the book of Acts, I don't know. But the Pharisees had, you know, seen the disciples, that they were unlearned men, untrained, blah, blah, blah. But it says they marveled with the power they were walking in, and they could tell that they spent time with Jesus. We need to spend more time with Jesus. Amen? We need to. Now listen to this. When the Holy Spirit, I'm almost done, two more pages. Listen to this. When the Holy Spirit begins to move in a greater way in your life, you know what else increases? Angelic activity. Angelic, what's my proof? This week, I want you to go and read Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, the living creatures, ministering spirits, it reveals that wherever the Spirit or the Holy Spirit goes, the angels are there as well. Amen? The early church, the Holy Spirit was moving mightily, and there were greater angelic encounters. Amen? I love the topic of angels too. Amen? Listen to this. You can also see that with modern-day awakenings, revivals, and outpourings of the Holy Spirit. There are many testimonies of that the angels are more active in those locations, in those areas. Amen? See, God doesn't change and His kingdom doesn't change. We just need to put His principles into motion in our life. That's it. All right? Listen to this. By filling yourself with the Word of God, it will help you to maintain a kingdom perspective. You need to have a kingdom perspective. Many Christians, they're so worldly that they're out of tune with the Holy Spirit. They need to be more in tune with the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, you're more in tune with worldly limitations. More worldly limitations, more of your natural ability than they are with the Word of God and the power of God that's available to them. So we need to rely on the Holy Spirit more than our natural ability. Can you do that this week? Okay, all right. So, and by the way, that's humility. That's humility when you say, God, I can't do anything with this situation, but you flowing through me, you taking care of this, you can do it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm talking about yielding to the Holy Spirit. Slow down. Right? Be still and know that I am God, right? Amen. Psalm 46:10. Remember, be still. Be still, but not silent. Right. Be still, but not silent. 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. One of my favorite passages here. I love it. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words, here's the key, of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I love that. That is such a reminder to me all the time. When you're trying to minister to someone and you're trying to come up with something eloquent, Lord, Sometimes the simplest thing anointed by the Holy Spirit, boom, is going to be like an explosion on the inside of them. That brings them freedom. We got to remember the power is in the Word. The power is in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Not in your natural ability. There is one thing that separates you from the power of God in your life and ministry as a Christian. And it is your unrenewed mind. It's all you got to renew your mind. You must get and maintain, as I said many times, that heavenly perspective. Now, the Apostle Paul understood that if he was going to flow in the Holy Spirit, that no earthly accolade, no earthly education, no earthly ability was going to do. He needed to set his mind on and focus on heavenly things. Say heavenly things. All earthly limitations are no match for God's power to flow through us. Amen? The reality, listen to this, the reality of the kingdom of God, the reality of the power of God's word, and the reality of the spirit realm must be more real, more tangible to us than what we see and what we feel in the natural. Remember, faith takes hold of the invisible. Faith takes hold of the invisible. So I want to encourage every Christian in this place and listening to me around the world right now to be a sold out, yielded vessel for the Holy Spirit to flow through. Allow him to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ through your life. Allow him to make you the hands and the feet of Jesus. Amen? And you will find out when you come to that place of being a sold out vessel that that is the secret place of the Most High. And you will walk in a greater level of peace. You will walk in a greater level of joy and fulfillment in your life than ever before. It's time to be a yielded vessel for the Holy Ghost. Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on forward. Hallelujah. Yielded to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we yield to you. Now here, there might be someone in this place, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. The first yielding experience you must have is making Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. If you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, yield to him today. You're feeling that tug on the inside. Come forward and pray with one of our prayer team members this morning. Now maybe there's some in here. You've fallen away, you've backslidden. And you feel like you're one of those Christians that you have overflown the airport many times. You landed the plane where you thought you should have landed, and you got out and you said, boy, I messed up. If you want to today, you want a new start, you want to recommit to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to sit in that co-pilot seat to give you direction, if you're ready to recommit to him today, I want you to come forward. Now, maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism and speaking in other tongues. You want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Well, the Word of God says to be eligible for all of that, to have the power from on high, to be a witness for Jesus Christ, you must receive the Holy Spirit baptism. Amen? It's not optional. God wouldn't put it in there if you didn't need it. We need him. Amen? If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down this morning. If you need prayer for anything else, you need a healing in your body, You've been tormented by demons. You're dealing with oppression, depression. You have a family member you want prayed for. We'll stay as long as possible to minister to you. Visitors, thank you so much for coming. I'm telling you, everybody, let's yield to the Holy Spirit like never before and see a fire lit up in this city, this county, this region, and whatever city you live in. Amen? God bless you all. Have a great week.